seen the horrific video of Minneapolis police officer kneeling on George Floyd while Floyd, a 46-year-old black man, begged for air before dying. Minneapolis is on fire right now. Protesters have been looting and rioting in response to Floyd's death. And the fact that nobody has been arrested in the case. Joining us right now, civil rights expert and associate dean of the Cooley Law School at Western Michigan University, Tracy Brame. Professor, good morning. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How is it that nobody has been arrested in the death of George Floyd yet?
Well, you know, we'll see what happens. One of the things that struck me about this case is that there are and have been calls for his arrest, even by other people in the police department or in government, which is relatively unusual in the sense that usually when you see these kind of cases, as horrific as it was, you know, you hear cries for calm and patience and let's see what happened and let's see the whole story. But strikingly about this case, again, it was so vivid and horrific that there are calls for the officers involved to be charged with homicide. They've already been fired, again, you know, almost immediately. So charges may be looming, you know, certainly in light of the unrest.
I listened to the comments made by the attorneys yesterday, the prosecutors, saying they need to put together a good, solid case. They don't want to rush into it. And yet, any of us that saw that video say, looks like a cause for arrest right there. I mean, it looks like that officer definitely contributed to Floyd's death.
Absolutely. And you know, I think and hope that, again, the prosecutors are being somewhat cautious so that by the time they do bring a case, it's relatively airtight. I mean, even our Justice Department, our National Justice Department, which you know, tends to be conservative, right? Our administration is run by the Conservative Party right now. Even the FBI and the Justice Department are vowing to look into it and seek justice. Like I said, I guess I say this every time this happens, unfortunately, but I hope that it's a tipping point in the sense that, you know, people hear the cries not only of George Floyd as he pled for his life, but of the of his family and of the citizens that are, you know, citizens of all races and backgrounds that are marching in the streets to protest and try to bring this to light.
Do you think that an arrest will bring some of those protests at least back to a nonviolent state?
Yeah, I think people want to see something done. I think people want to see action. I think people are exhausted, right? Like this is, you know, this seems to be cyclical. You know, every, I don't know, just a few months, you know, a year or so, you know, we have a black man who was assaulted or killed by police, and there is a groundswell of outcry and anger and rage, and then, you know, it subsides. Something else takes over in the news, and we kind of move on. And I think that people are tired of that cycle. You know, so I certainly, you know, think that people want to see action, want to see actual consequence. More than anything, though, I think people want to see it stop. And that is going to take at least the arrest of the officers involved, but, you know, so much more than that.
What else needs to happen? I mean, beyond just this case, to stop this this level of violence against black men.
Yeah, and that is the large question looming over us, right? So, you know, I teach at the law school and I teach a class on race and law, and the students and I talk all the time about what a great instrument of change the law has been with respect to civil rights, right? You know, the fact that we, you know, have, of course, 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments and voting rights laws and housing rights laws and all those things that were great, again, instruments of change, but very reactive, right? Reactive to the wrongs that were being done to people of color and other disenfranchised people. I think that in order to, you know, really affect change with respect to stopping this kind of violence or curbing this type of violence is to be proactive in the sense of certainly, you know, some communities have task forces and police community relations boards and things like that. And all of those are great things. But I believe that our community, our national community, our country has never had a real reckoning with the history of the treatment of black people in this country. You know, black people were, of course, enslaved upon arriving in this country, you know, didn't arrive voluntarily, and then were terrorized, right, for generations after that, leading up to the mid 20th century, informally even today, right? And I don't think that the country has really come to terms with that and doesn't want to talk about it in those terms, right, in terms of, you know, the terror that was imposed. And until we can get there, right, like until we can acknowledge that Black people in this country live a life that was shaped and formed by the way in which we arrived and have been treated since, and acknowledge and deal with that and really try to change that, I don't know that we're going to see that. We need to fundamentally change the way that we see Black men, right, the way that we respect Black men. And until then, you know, we're going to be left with the reactive tools that we have to try to respond when this happens.
Do you think that we need a new civil rights movement? By that, I mean, I think in the 60s, the civil rights movement made great strides, like you said, through the legal system, mm-hmm. through laws. Mm-hmm. We made great strides in dealing with racism, but we didn't completely mm-hmm. deal with it, and we swept a lot of things under the rug, and it has just been bubbling under the surface. It's starting to bubble over now. Is it time for a new, and what would it look like, a new civil rights movement in this country?
Right. So absolutely, you know, there's time for a movement. And I think that there's a couple of key components to it. I think that, you know, first of all, it has to be very broad, like, you know, to an extent the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s was. I think it has to be something in which, you know, all of us participate, right? You know, Black people have, all of us, in some way, shape, or form, I should say most of us, I can't speak for everyone, you know, kind of have a simmering sense of fear or anger or resentment or frustration. But, you know, until white people and other people, right, you know, become as outraged as we are, right? I mean, I think that's when you get, you know, that's kind of when you see a groundswell of change. So I think it has to be a broad-based movement. And again, you know, we have the many of the laws in place that we need, but I think that it has to be a movement that includes, a truth and reconciliation component, you know, somewhat that, like you saw in apartheid South Africa, or that you saw in Germany, that you saw, you know, so, you know, you go to Germany, you can't, you know, walk more than a few steps without being reminded of the horrible events of the Holocaust, right? So we, you know, we need to acknowledge it, and to apologize and to try to reconcile. And then we need to deal with the consequences, the generational consequences of what happened. So if you think of any, you know, aspect of our lives, people of color in this country have been affected detrimentally, right? There is educationally, right? There's disparate impact educationally, health-wise, you know, with respect to wealth, you know, all of those things. Even with this horrible pandemic with which we're dealing, it quickly became apparent that it was affecting the elderly, unfortunately, and it was affecting people of color, right? And everybody, you know, the governor has a task force, asks the reasons why, et cetera. And there's a lot of nuanced reasons why, but one of them, again, is the physical effects of years of abuse and then neglect, right? And then abuse and then neglect. Yeah. So I think, again, that we need a truth and reconciliation movement coupled with a sustained commitment, right, to address the issues that the ancestors of enslaved Africans still deal with today.
We're talking with Tracy Brame. She's Associate Dean of the Cooley Law School at Western Michigan University. Tracy, as we've watched the rioting going on in Minneapolis the last two, three nights, it doesn't seem to be dying down at all. In fact, it's spreading to other cities. What do you think needs to happen in the days ahead to keep this from becoming something that that spirals out of control?
Right. And you mentioned it at the top of the conversation. Again, I think people want to see real action, right, whatever that looks like. You know, the mayor is acknowledging the pain. People are already talking about arrest and things like that. People from other police departments and celebrities, you know, a lot of people are coming out in support of Floyd's family and calls for arrest. And so I think when something like that happens, right, when an action is taken, hopefully that will. And then, you know, to a certain extent, and I hope this happens without, you know, too much, violence and damage. But again, people are frustrated and people are angry. And, you know, if we could find another way to channel that, like I said, and part of that is this belief that someone is doing something about it. And part of that is letting out this anger and frustration. It reminds me of, I was a college student When the officers who'd be Rodney King were acquitted. And I remember the unrest in California, and it was just, you know, it had gotten to a boiling point because no one who watched, you know, that what happened could help but to be, you know, to have this mix of feelings that you know, can't help but boil over.
Difficult. Difficult situation. Professor, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much for joining us. Great conversation.
Absolutely.
We'll certainly keep it going and see what the next steps are. But we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much for weighing in.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.